If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.
Hello and welcome to the Seahawkers podcast from the Podium Edition. I'm Brandon Schultz. We are taking a look back at what we heard from the players and coaches following the win over the New York Jets on Sunday. Before we do that, though, I know a lot of us watched Monday night and the injury to DeMar Hamlin. And a lot of that on our minds as we go through the week this week. And I wanted to read a statement from the family of DeMar Hamlin, went out via Twitter on Tuesday, says, "On behalf of our family, we want to express our sincere gratitude for the love and support shown to DeMar during this challenging time. We are deeply moved by the prayers, kind words, and donations from fans around the country." That GoFundMe, if you haven't seen that, is upwards of $5 million, I think, of last check. So an outpouring of support to the Hamlin charity of choice. The statement continued, "We also want to acknowledge the dedicated first responders and healthcare professionals at the University of Cincinnati Medical Center who have provided exceptional care to DeMar. We feel so blessed to be part of the Buffalo Bills organization and to have their support. We also want to thank Coach Taylor and the Bengals for everything they've done. Your generosity and compassion mean the world to us. Please keep DeMar in your prayers. We will release updates as soon as we have them. Thank you from the Hamlin family." And again, I just wanted to read that because I know that DeMar Hamlin and his family are in a lot of our thoughts. And as we transition back to the Seahawks and their win over the New York Jets on Sunday, it was a season-saving win, and we heard from Pete Carroll and his reflections following the game.
On this New Year's Day, we had a good football day. We had a really good football day. Across the board, everybody played like we were hoping. We were able to play like the complimentary football where we made the turnovers. We had field position. We could have done better in the red zone, but we did a lot of really positive things all day long. Offense did not turn the football over. Plus three for the day is huge, huge day for us in that regard. A lot of cool things happened. We ran the ball really well today. Ken had a great day running it, and DJ had a really good day too in his complimentary stuff that he did. It was interesting. We didn't get the ball to DK or to Tyler much at all, but we had enough stuff going, and the tight ends did a really good job. And we saw a lot of Colby and today, and it fit together really well. Terrific for the defense to get through a day. And no touchdowns. You know, that's hard to do that in this league, and great to see those guys do that. It looks like we're making a little move. We played definitely better in some areas last week, and then we came back and did it again this week. And we got, big finish coming up. So it was a really good day.
The Seahawks' tight ends were key in the passing game, per Carroll.
Yeah, it was really important. We needed them today. It just kind of happened that day. It was one of those days. And it was not by intention at all, just the way the game went. I feel bad for those guys because they want to contribute and all that, but they'll come roaring back. It's not a significant issue really at all.
One of these tight ends, Tyler Mabry, was able to get his first reception of his career in the game, which was a touchdown.
The coolest thing about that is the way the guys reacted. He's been here for a long time and been waiting for an opportunity like that and get in the end zone. And the guys were crazy about it. On the field, one, and in the locker room, two. Just fired up for him, they're fired up today for Cade Johnson. Got a first chance to get some play time, going into the game, coming off the practice squad. So whenever those guys get a chance. But it was what was remarkable about it, how much they loved Tyler, you could tell. And this is the way they responded.
Geno Smith said he was happy to see Mabry score.
That was awesome. I remember Tyler asking me like early in the season, he was like, "What kept you going?" We were in the sauna and I was just talking to him about, "Hey man, you got to keep working. You got to keep working. You never know. And then boom, here it is, right? He gets his shot, scores a touchdown, first catch. He's a guy who's worked his butt off, has stayed in it. He is, the consummate professional, great teammate. And just happy to see him, get that done today.
We also heard from Colby Parkinson on seeing his fellow tight end score.
Yeah, you could see it. Everyone loves that guy. He's a great part of our team, and we're so excited for him. And fired up that he got the opportunity, and we knew he would make the most of it.
Continuing on the offensive side of the ball, running back DJ Dallas set a career high in scrimmage yards. Pete Carroll was happy with his performance.
I thought he played a great game. I mean, he was all over both aspects of it, the pass game, run game, pass pro too. He had a couple good blocks. I thought he had one of his better games, you know, and ran hard, ran tough, and it was really a nice 1-2 punch the way that was hitting. So felt good.
Dallas's fellow running back, rookie Ken Walker, also set an exciting record Sunday, becoming just the third Seahawk in franchise history to eclipse 1,000 scrimmage yards in his rookie season.
It means a lot. You know, I used to always talk about, you know, getting 1,000 yards, and I feel like it'll be cool in the league. And it's just a dream come true. And I got to give credit to the O-line, you know, and the guys that block for me every day. You know, I make my job easier. So those guys get a lot of the credit for that.
We are getting to that time of year where a lot of players are setting milestones, including Quandre Diggs, who became the only player in the NFL record books to have 3 or more interceptions in each of the last 6 seasons.
I mean, for me, it's just, you know, it's consistency, you know, consistently getting the ball and finding the ball. And, you know, I really should have broke this a long time ago, you know, if I just caught the ball one of those opportunities. But, I mean, it means a lot. I mean, it's 6 years straight. I've even passed my brother in career interceptions. So, for me, I mean, it's a special moment, and we got the dub. So, I mean, it makes it even better, and, you know, you start the new year right.
Diggs was also asked whether or not he will be calling some of his former Lions teammates to pump them up for their game against Green Bay on Sunday night. The Seahawks need a win over the Rams and the Lions to win to get into the postseason.
Hey, I don't have that many over there that was my teammates, but, you know, those guys, they handle business. They've been playing really, really well. So I always keep my eyes out on the Lions. You know, those guys definitely have my heart always. And you know, I just want those guys to finish strong and play well. And, you know, they got a tough one. I think they got Green Bay, right? Yeah, A-Rod's always ready to play when those moments matter.
Continuing on defense, on the defensive line, Quentin Jefferson spoke about Daryl Taylor's strong performance.
Man, I play with some good guys. He's up there. He reminds me of Frankie, you know, just super, super, super twitchy, you know. And I'll say, like, this is really his second year really playing. So, like, he's starting to put it together and realizes, like, his twitchiness and just how really you get off the ball, stuff with that. You do that, you can cause some havoc.
Jordan Brooks went out with a knee injury, and he was moved to the injured reserve this week. It was Cody Barton filling in as the play caller on defense.
I mean, there's definitely an adjustment to it, you know, going weak side to Mike and then also, you know, having called the plays. It's nothing too crazy, you know what I mean? Because all week, you know, even when Jordan's calling the plays, you know, I'm calling him with him, you know, making solid calls or adjustments, whatever. And so nothing crazy as far as the communication goes. Obviously, the assignments are a little different, but you just kind of slide over and then, you know, go from there.
Before we wrap up with Pete's comments on Monday, let's circle back to Gino, who was asked about the importance of beating the team that drafted him.
Honestly, it doesn't mean anything outside of the fact that we gave ourselves another chance to go to the playoffs. I'm actually grateful for being drafted to the NFL by the Jets. And although things weren't, you know, perfect there, there were some good times. And there are some people still there who, you know, I hold dear to my heart. You know, I have a lot of good relationships in New York. And so it was just another game for me. It was good seeing some old friends and, you know, some people that we play with.
On Monday, Carroll was asked about how he thinks the mentality of the Lions could change for their Sunday night game against Green Bay. Should the Seahawks beat the Rams and then eliminate Detroit from playoff contention prior to kickoff of their game against the Packers?
Well, it won't be the first time they have that thought, you know, so it won't be like it shocks them. Yeah, they understand. They know what's going on. And so, you know, in some respects, and I know what I would think, but if people think you're not going to go for it, that's where I'm going even harder. You know, I'm going to find every way I can. And some of the things you're going to hold back. There's so much conversation about that, and it's kind of like the syndrome, like, oh, if you don't have something to play for, you're not going to play hard. What do you think these guys are? These guys are freaking warriors. They're going to go out and battle. I don't care. I mean, maybe there's some guys that don't, but I don't know. I don't understand that thinking. And so that I wouldn't, you know, you'd say a cuss word and away you go, you know, and you're off and playing. And that's it.
I'm sure we'll be talking about that one a lot more coming up on the flagship show with Adam and I on this next episode of the Seahawkers podcast. But let's move on and take a look at statistical leaders from the game, starting with Geno Smith, who was 18 of 29, 183 yards on the day, two touchdowns. Also, he had K9 with 23 carries, 133 yards. Dallas on the ground, rushing and receiving, 43 yards rushing, 55 yards receiving, including that nice little toss from Geno Smith. 98 total yards on the ground between those. That's not even including any punt return yardage. Darrell Taylor, 2.5 sacks, 3 quarterback hits, and Quentin Jefferson from the middle, 1.5 sacks on the day. Thanks to Wilson Kahn for helping to produce this episode. Follow him out on Twitter at Wilson_Kahn, C-O-N-N. And we're going to be back. We'll have some What If coming up this week, and also that next episode with Adam and I as we take a look back at this game against the Jets and look forward against the Los Angeles Rams and take a look at some of the playoff scenarios as well and check in and see where that draft pick stands heading into week 18. Also hoping that we will have more positive news regarding DeMar Hamlin. As we progress through the week, it does seem like news is getting more positive, so we are going to hope that continues. And so until next time, we are wishing for all the best for tomorrow.